Father, we pause as we now approach this portion of the worship service to make sure that we're right in listening, Lord, and that we're ready to hear that still small voice speak to us. And Lord, it's not going to happen unless my heart's right, for I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like everyone else in this room, everyone else in your house here. So use me in spite of me, Lord. In fact, my prayer this morning is, may the words of my mouth and the testimony of my heart be acceptable in your sight and yours alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first days after the downing of the Twin Towers, specially trained crews brought in listening devices so that they could hear the sound of people trapped inside the rubble. They were so sensitive, these devices, that they could pick up the sound of some muffled crying down in the depths of the rubble, or even the sound of a human heartbeat. The concern of these people was not for revenge or for the rebuilding of the towers or for even the country to be unified into patriotism. Their only concern was to hear that voice. So many noises were going on all around them that it was difficult to hear the one thing that they needed to hear. There was heavy equipment for moving steel girders rumbling around. There was debris still falling, sirens still going off, and F-16s flying overhead. God sometime has to remove all of these other noises from our lives in order for us to be able to hear His voice. We allow so many things to compete for our attention in our lives. We are so busy, and there's no time, no motivation to just sit down and listen. Sometimes the only time that we are willing to listen to what God has to say, the only way that He can get us still long enough to get our attention is by knocking the breath out of us all. So today I want to present to you the sermon entitled, Then I Am Strong. And we're going to answer one question today. When are we strong? And in order to find out the answer to that question, I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Remember, Then I Am Strong is the title, and the one question we want to answer is, when are we strong? 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, holds the answer to this question. I want you to turn there, and we'll start with verse 7. I want the children to take their Bibles and turn there also, and follow along as we read this incident in Paul's life and see what it has to do with when are we strong. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, even though it says we're going to read to verse 10, I'm going to stop there. For let me give you the context of Paul's announcement here, starting in 7 and in 8. Take a look, if you would, at Chapter 11, verse 22. Now, here's what's going on. Paul is certifying his apostleship to his beloved church in Corinth. Evidently, there were false teachers coming in that were discounting his ministry and even his call to the ministry. If you read 10 and 11 and 12 carefully, you will read twice where Paul calls individuals super apostles. And Paul is defending his ministry to those people because some of them are mad at him for what he wrote. They didn't like it. And so they were listening to these false teachers that were questioning Paul's call. And so he's defending himself. Notice what he says in 22. Are you ready for this? This is incredible to me. Are they Hebrews? These false teachers. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequent. In death, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In the journey, often. In peril of water. In peril of robber. In peril of my own countrymen. In peril of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Can you say amen to that? And so Paul's talking about these supposed super apostles, and he's letting them know that he is just as super as they are in all that he experienced. But then the context goes on, and let's look at the beginning of chapter 12. Notice what he says here in verse 1. It is doubtless and not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. The context here. Paul's defending his apostleship. And when we get to this second part, he's talking about revelations. He's had revelations. He's talking about himself. He's saying, you know, I could brag about that if I wanted to. But notice the issue here is conceit. Keeping Paul humble. If you read 10, 11, and 12 carefully, you will see that Paul is saying to them, these things have happened to me which could lift me up and make me boastful and arrogant and conceited but that is not a good idea. And so how does God assist Paul? What did God do to Paul? Well, let's read it. You're in 12. Let's start at 7 again. And let's read exactly what it says here. Notice what it says. Unless I should be exalted above the measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now notice, when we looked at the context, especially in verse number 11, and we read all that Paul had endured, wouldn't you say that he's deserving of some kind of break? Wouldn't you? And wouldn't you also say that you could see where he might have a tendency to boast? If I could stand here and had half of the experiences he did, you probably would be awed at me. And then he gets visions. Remember, by the way, in his head, these super apostles. I better help you with that. Okay? So the false teachers were saying, well, Peter, James, and John, they walked with Jesus. They're real apostles. Paul isn't. He's a fake one. He was called later on. He never walked with Jesus, see? And he's defending his apostleship here. And he's saying, how many of them have been beaten with rods 3 times? Doesn't that make anybody else's hair stand up in the back of their neck? Whipped 5 times in prison more than they, and it went on and on and on. I'm saying, Lord, give them a break. And so what did the Lord do? He gave them a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. It was to torment him. That's what buffet means, to torment him. And he said, I prayed 3 times. I asked God for deliverance. And God said what? He said no, folks. He said no. So the question comes back, when are we strong? We are strong when we recognize what Jesus said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now let's take a quick look at that one sentence. My grace is sufficient for you. That grace is charis in the Greek. Listen to this. It means graciousness of manner or act. It means the divine influence upon the heart and it's reflected in the life. What I have for you, Paul, is grace, not deliverance from this tormentor that you've been giving. And I want you to know that my strength, and that word in the Greek is dunamis. And what word does that sort of sound like in the English? Dunamis, dynamite. My grace is made perfect, he said. The word we get, dynamite, it actually means miraculous power. My miraculous power is made perfect in your education, salary, possessions, membership in the church, position in the church, popularity. Any of those things? His dunamis is made strong in Paul's weakness. And Paul concludes, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about what? My weaknesses. See, that's the conclusion Paul came to. We saw clearly that he has a right to be boastful. But when he heard these words from Jesus, he realized that what I need to boast in is my weaknesses so that Christ's power, dunamis, can rest on me. Verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, what? Then I am strong. Hey, listen, this is not the philosophy of the world. This is divine philosophy. Amen. Heavenly thinking. That literally, when we are weak, that is when we are strong. Why? Because we see our need of Jesus. Paul prayed. I read some of the commentators just for the fun of it. They said it doesn't necessarily mean three times he prayed. It could mean that he prayed multiple times. And then I thought, well, let's take it literally just in case. I remember Elijah prayed seven times for rain and then it came. Maybe Paul quit too soon. But folks, we're strong when we realize our need of Jesus. We are strong when we use these situations in our life, no matter how horrific they may be. Because it forces us to look at Jesus. You know, just like the Twin Towers came down and suddenly everybody's focused on listening to the sound. But prior to that, it wasn't happening. No one cared. Everyone was too busy passing by. We cannot afford in these last days to be like that. We have to understand the divine principle of power. It is our weakness. It drives us to our knees. It drives us to our Bibles and brings us closer to Jesus. And by the way, Steps to Christ clearly states the closer you come to Jesus, the more pathetic you will look in your own eyes. Those of you who are wondering about your failures, I want you to know it may mean you're coming closer to Jesus, okay? Because when we are weak, then He is strong. And that's why Paul boasted in that and not in Revelations and not in his academic accomplishments or his arguments or his world travels or all the experiences put together. He realized it was this one thorn in the flesh to remind him that without Jesus, we're going to be boastful. And we're going to be lost. So my brother and sister, what situation are you facing in life? You know, some of us in this congregation have cancer. That's pretty scary to me. But I want you to know the Bible clearly states, when you're weak, He is strong. He uses these circumstances and situations to drive us closer to Him. And yes, by the way, Satan can use them to drive us farther away. But we can't afford to let that happen. People out of work. People losing possessions. People wondering about food. Things that we never thought we'd have to deal with here in the United States. And so we must recognize this principle. Because if we do, then we're safe. When are we strong? when we clearly see our need of Christ. I have a picture here of Ellen G. White. And I want to share something that I thought was very pertinent about this story, about this presentation. And I want to give you the context before I read you the contact quote here. And that is, as a 17-year-old, frail, sickly, uneducated woman, she was loath to obey the command to go and share this message. And for weeks, she had a huge cloud over her head and felt that God had left her because she didn't want to do it. And finally, it's fantastic to read this. Finally, after a long struggle, she surrendered. The cloud lifted. She felt the approval of God again. And here's what she said to God. One great fear that oppressed me was that if I obeyed the call of duty and went out declaring myself to be one favored of the Most High with visions and revelations for the people, I might yield to sinful exaltation and be lifted above the station that was right for me to occupy, bring upon myself the displeasure of God, and lose my own soul. I had before me several cases such as I have here described, and my heart sank from the trying ordeal. I now entreated that if I must go and relate what the Lord had showed me, I should be preserved from undue exaltation. Said the angel, "Your prayers are heard and shall be answered. If this evil that you dread threatens you, the hand of God will be stretched out to save you. By affliction, He will draw you to Himself and preserve your humility." And by the way, when it says affliction, if any of you have read about the life of Ellen White, I wonder if you've ever wondered how come she was sick so often. So folks, when are we strong? We are strong when we have these infirmities, these weaknesses, these challenges, these cares, these concerns, because it helps us to see our need of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I pray for your divine intervention in all our behalf today, and especially our baptismal candidates. For Satan will come and try to steal the moment away. But you are more powerful. And we pray that you would help us to understand this principle, that when we are weak, when we are realistic, when we are challenged, when we are perplexed, all of those are to allow us to more clearly see our need of Christ. Then, Father, help us to accept that challenge, please. Help us to firmly commit to you that we will spend time every day in Bible study and prayer, in spite of all the noise around us and all the distraction and busyness, so that we can clearly be established upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and be ready for whatever may be coming on the scene. Lord, grant this prayer for each person here and help us to share it with others. And thank you for answering, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.